to marooned at MacBite's headquarters, day 53. Oh, we lost Mike at that point. What's he contemplating? His navel, I think. Mike, we're on air, microphone, you know.
Hello, welcome to day 53.
It's seamless, wasn't it? Seamless. Shall we tell them right now what they need to do, Mike?
Yes.
Right, you need to refresh the page. Just trust me on this one. If you are with us on the homepage, which you should indeed be, just refresh the page. I need to do that as well. Right, I'm refreshing. There we go, I've refreshed. Hopefully I've got the new updated toy. I'm just going to leave it, Mike. We've got a bit of an issue with scheduled maintenance here with our radio server, haven't we, Mike?
We have.
So we've got the backup in place. So hopefully you've just switched over to the backup. But if we disappear around 8 o'clock, refresh it again. We'll be telling people throughout the night. It took a bit of organisation, that, didn't it, Mike? But I think we're here now. So, what have you been up to today? Let us know. We need to know these things. 53 shows. If it had been one a week, it could have been over a year. Jonathan, you know us. Sublime to the ridiculous us. Hello, Simon. How's Dusty getting on? Oh, adorable dog. Mike pointed out another one today, didn't you? I think he was a retriever, wasn't he, across the road?
I think so.
He was cute. So, what have you been up to, Simon? How's working from home panning out? We haven't murdered each other yet, have we?
No.
No, a couple of close run-ins, but no. Oh, Mike's still got his hair to contend with, so he's more than occupied with that. So, who's seen the craziness going on today? Did you see that one on Facebook, Mike? This actually happened today, I do believe. Let me see if I can get a link.
Can everybody hear?
Oh, tell me everyone can hear. Well, that wouldn't be good.
I can hear.
30 years of working from home. So sounds like me, Simon. Sounds like me. Right, I've got a link. It's a Facebook link. It's not mine. But a lot of people have been posting it. And it's just crazy. So I'll put the link in. This is what you don't want when you're out on your government-approved trot. Have you seen that one? I love the way he turns around and looks at me when I say that, when I've clearly put the link in there. Go and have a look at it. A couple of people that that I follow, possibly you follow, have watched that. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Yes, that's not you with the notification, Mike. See, it looks so simple, doesn't it? Who in their right minds?
When I was a student, guys that I live with, this guy, one of the lads that I live with, who was the spit of Peter Schmeichel, his dad got beaten up because he walked across a zebra crossing. He was in the right.
Yeah.
And had a go at the guy in the car, and the guy in the car got out and beat him up.
I'm just thinking, your words fail me. Words absolutely fail me. Hopefully the police will find him shortly. They did focus in very heavily on his number plate, which is always good, I find. But that could just be me.
Right, so it looks like we're okay.
Excellent. We're working, are we?
Yeah.
According to you. If we're not, you'll hear about it, Mike. You're going in at... What's it, aren't you?
What?
7:30?
Shortly.
Are we losing you shortly?
Yes.
Are you putting on your posh shirt and everything and flattening your hair?
Yes.
Oh, he's stripping off here. Aren't you glad it's not a video show?
Yes, I am.
Well, Mike is anyway.
Do you want more water?
Yes, please. Yeah. It's shocking, isn't it? And it's just the fact that, like, you know, there can't be that many cars on the road right now. You can clearly see it's a crossing. There's somebody stopped in front of you. What are you doing? And the poor guy who just kind of stood in front of the car, mindful of the fact that his kids were on it. I remember we were going out to a Mac Club meeting once. That must have been a good 12 years ago now. And we'd not eaten. So we'd had the usual carve up here. Everything else got done. But we didn't eat. So I said to Mike, well, we'll just stop off. I said, now I'll get some fish from the fish and chip shop. So Mike said, oh, I think I'll have some as well. I do like my fish. Don't like my chips, but I do like my fish. So we pulled up at this, Jonathan will probably know it. He's near the Pelican. If Neil was with us, he would know where it was. And it's a pull-in. So there's a whole area outside to park. You are not parked on the road. So we pulled in and all of the car slots were full. CQ, Deb, CQ. But there's other places to park. So we parked on this very wide area, well out of the way of anybody else. Mike goes in and he always locks the door when he leaves me on my own, unattended. So I sees this guy come out to his car. He must have been 105 if it was a day. He gets in. He has absolutely no idea what he's doing, manoeuvring it. He starts to back out and I think he's not going to stop. And the back end of his car would have been against the passenger door, which was where I was. And he backs up and I'm like thumping on the window. No, straight into the car. So I'm incensed at this point. And I'm trying to ring Mike because I can't get out. He's backed into the car door and I can't get out. He does no more than starts to pull away as I'm trying to ring Mike. So I manages to clamber over. This was not elegant. I managed to clamber over the middle console, gets to the driver's side, gets out the driver's side, runs around the back of the car. And I did exactly what that guy did. And I just thumped on the bonnet of his car until he stopped. By which time, Mike comes out with two fish in his hand going, what the hell is going on? I only left you for 5 minutes. And I was screaming at this bloke. It was just so dangerous and he hadn't got a clue. Turned out, I think his family got involved with it. Basically, don't report him because this is the third time he's done it. I thought, where's the police's phone number? Get him off the road. Not safe. That could have been a child. And you do the craziest things. Like if you'd have said to me 2 seconds before, you'll be banging on somebody's car bonnet, I wouldn't have believed you. But I was. It's some kind of primal instinct that takes over is all I can say. what I did find was funny was he had somebody with him, but he had a mask on, the driver, but the passenger didn't. Crazy beans. The best part of the story was the two fish. Oh, yes. Did eat the fish. The fish was very nice. But honest to God, you're shaking and you're thinking, you know, that could have been so much worse. If he'd have backed out much faster, it could have been shocking. Oh, I've got no time for people like that. If you don't think you're safe, then don't go out driving. Hello, Kim. You have strawberries. Fabulous. Oh, we got some strawberries a couple of weeks back. They were gorgeous. Absolutely love them. Oh, you can't beat some strawberries. And some strawberry yoghurt. Had a strawberry yoghurt last night. There was more in it, Jonathan, than there was the Angel Delight. Which is not difficult, is it? So, who read the email and who knows what on earth I was going on about when I wrote it? First off, who read the email? Or is it just, oh, maroon's on, I bin it. There was actually news in it today. Just say that. Who's read it? Oh, what else have I got in the stupid stakes? Oh, one thing I posted on Twitter's Facebook's doing rather well, actually. First time in weeks Kim's eating a proper salad. I did that. I did that yesterday. I must admit, today, not quite so good today. I decided to have 2 pieces of gluten-free toast today. But that was because I was a bit full yesterday after the salad. It's crazy, isn't it? You can eat any amount of rubbish and keep going. But if you eat something proper, then you're full. Then you're like, I don't really want to eat something proper because I want to eat that cake. And I do indeed have a cake. I have my last carrot cake, gluten-free carrot cake. So I intend to have some gluten-free carrot cake when this is over. Oh, where's my thing on Facebook that I put up there? Let's see if I can get that. I've put up a couple of these in the last couple of days. It was basically in relation to, let's get that up on Droppler. Basically in relation to what people are saying about, you know, I want to be let out of lockdown, basically.
Just a thought.
What?
You have to play something local when you're finished.
To mine?
Play something local from VLC to
To where? Brooklands?
No, to yours. Well, to the block that's broadcasting.
Which one? I've got two broadcast blocks. If I just turn off the Brooklands one, will it take over? Right, I'll deal with it. Right. I'll deal with it. He's come in, dog bothering me. Right. Look at this, Mike. Simon actually bought some Butterscotch Angel Delight after all that talk last night. I love it. And Kim's got strawberries. We have success. We have success in Seattle. We have strawberries. Right, where's that link that I've just got? There we go. This is what I thought about all of the people who are arguing over whether we should or should not be in lockdown, because the fact is people are still dying. Another 5,000 cases since yesterday, and Boris is thinking of easing restrictions on Sunday. You need something to the Brooklands block as well?
Yeah, just to the Brooklands block, because that's the active
player. All right, that's fine. I'll deal with it. Gotta love Mike, haven't you? He's panicking as he goes out the door. Right. Always dealt with, dear. Always dealt with. That is good news, Mrs. Simon. Absolutely. That tiny pot was minute. I don't think Jonathan believed me when I said how tiny it actually was. I reckon you were probably thinking about a small yoghurt pot, but no, it was minuscule. It was minuscule. I reckon, you know, when you make one from the powder, you could probably fill about 10 of those pots, not even joking. So I got some from Morrison's and it's here. I just need to try it. This was the other one that I sent. Let me get that one up there. That was another classic. So who thinks it would be a good idea if we're out of lockdown on Monday morning? Because I don't. People aren't going to want to go out. They're not. They are not. Oh, I know. I've got a funny story to tell you. Last night's debacle. The priest, this was when he was happy, remember Jonathan, deliriously happy. Yes, he had seen a virtual candle thing on another church's site. And apart from the do not covet thy brother's whatever, he wanted one. So I started looking round and I thought it's got to be a WordPress thing. So what I'll do is I'll have a look for a WordPress plugin. So I found this WordPress plugin. Absolutely perfect. I think it's called Light a Candle. You know, it does what it says on the tin. So I gets it all installed. Well, actually, Mike gets it all installed. And he tested it, and it all worked. I thought you had proper trousers on then, silly me. He's got his jogging pants on with a shirt and tie.
Yeah, but they only see the top half.
I think you'll find this is Wilmslow, dear. They put a jacket on as well. Good luck with that in this heat. Right, so what was I saying? Oh, yeah, so Mike gets this thing configured. We start testing it. And it all works swimmingly. So I then get a message from the priest. Can you do that? I said, yes. When would you like it? Silly question. Now. So I said, right, leave it with me. Anyway, a couple of days go by. I thought I'd better sort that out. So we put it on the site. Bearing in mind, we'd done the testing at the weekend and it was absolutely fine. But we didn't test it on that site. So we put it on the proper church site, and straight away there was one problem after another. I said to Mike, but we tested this. He said, I know. And they must have updated between, probably on Sunday, between Mike testing it and us deciding to deploy it, they'd made some changes, which rendered it useless. It wouldn't do what we needed it to do. I said, well, this is typical, because I've already told him we can do it. I said, so you're going to have to think of something. That was when it kicked off. Anyway, so the problem seemed to be it was saying it wasn't displaying a capture, but it was saying the capture doesn't match. That would be because we couldn't enter anything because it wasn't being displayed. So I said to Mike, well, turn it off. He said, it's got no interface. So you would have to have been knee deep in code to deal with this thing. So he's getting rather excited, not in a good way. So I said, just a minute. I said, look, just to get the job done, I said, why don't we ditch their form, build a form of our own, and we'll just have it come through to us, and then we'll just post them up as and when they come, because we've got to hold them anyway in case somebody posts something inappropriate. So that was what we decided to do. And all was well until about 9:30 last night. So I told him it was there. He'd posted some candles. He was a happy priest. He then must have told half the parish, and literally every 30 seconds on my email, ping, 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 ping. And it was X has lit a candle. Y has lit a candle. I thought, well, I won't tell you those kind of words that I thought. He was like, really? What we'd banked on was they'd read about it in the newsletter on Friday night, Saturday morning, and it would be dealt with by then. I think I and what I had to do with this form is copy three pieces of information and then post it into the back end to get the candles lit. I think I must have done about 30 to 40 last night. I won't say when Mike got up early this morning, about 5 o'clock, there was a load more, but he had the thing fixed by 9 o'clock because he was driving him mad as well. So, yes, fantastic news on the lighter candle front. We've got them all lit. Awesome. Right, so Jonathan says, I'm not too sure I want to see my parents if the lockdown ends. Second wave of Spanish flu is all I'm saying. Plus, when I see my grandparents across the drive through the window, it hurts not being able to hug them. I don't see that being any different for my parents. It will hurt the same. I totally agree. Mike got accosted on the way in again by that neighbour who's getting a little bit too friendly across the road. Rachel sent a photo today. It was actually really lovely. Let me see if I can find it. She put it on Facebook. Let's have a look. The lovely Rachel, who is at work, obviously, up to her armpits in all kinds of stuff. I'll link to the actual post that she put up, although, would you see it? Let's have a look. Let's see if you would see it. I'll go into private mode and see if you would see it. She might have it private, knowing Rachel. Looks like it is. But what I'll do is I'll grab the photo and I'll put it up on Droppler and then I'll read it to you. So it's like Facebook, but Jack and Nori style Facebook. There you go. There's Rachel. Hopefully that's Rachel. Tell me that's Rachel. She's got an iPad in her hand and she's got a photograph on the iPad. Yep, that's the right one. Awesome. So you're looking at the same thing I'm looking at. Brilliant. And the post says, in the photo, Anne Jones, a nurse during the 1918 to 1919 Spanish influenza pandemic, and a century later, her great-great-granddaughter is a nurse on a COVID ward. Apparently, pandemic nursing is in my DNA. And she's holding the her great-great-grandmother's medal, her nursing badge. Isn't that so sweet? Loving that. You wouldn't believe it, would you? It must be in the DNA. She never wanted to do anything but be a nurse. And I really admire that because that's the last thing I think I could do. Don't have the patience for it. But I can't imagine seeing Rachel and not wanting to hug her. And, you know, is that safe? Is that safe for us? Is that safe for her? You don't know. Technically, and I think this is where people are, they think it is safe. Because if you've been inside like us and Kim and Jonathan for weeks and weeks where you literally have not seen another soul, how can you possibly be infected? And other people feel the same. But then you've got the thing of, yes, but did they touch the bin handle after the bin men? And it puts in place a really strange social dynamic of like, don't touch me. Don't come too close to me. But what can you do? I think it's just best if all of those who can stay inside and leave it. I mean, there were still 5,000 new cases. That's the bit I don't get. It's not even the number that are dying, because they could be. We've known people. I mean, Dono, Steve was in there for 3 weeks in a coma. And even then he was touch and go for 10 days after that. So his infection could have been weeks and weeks and weeks ago. But if he died, the death would only be now. It's the rate of infection that's freaking me out. 5,000 in a day. Let's say he decides, oh, it's all right. We'll open the schools. Because I said to Mike, I've read it all and I thought, is this just me? Are you looking at it incorrectly? Are you panicking? And I said to Mike, I remember, and it was late February, there was one case in the UK. And I was like running around saying, OK, lock the borders down, shut the airports. And Mike was like, he won't do that. Yeah, but if you stop it at that point, you wouldn't have 30,000 people dead. Now, What he seemed to be listening to was some behavioural psychologists, air quotes, idiots, who were saying that people won't tolerate being locked down. Well, they won't tolerate being dead either, just saying. The rationale was the sooner people get on lockdown, you know, they're then going to want to get out of lockdown sooner. But you would be able to get out of lockdown. Oh. So that's where we're at the moment. So France is coming out of lockdown, but they were in
not
3 weeks.
The latest jacket and tie with the sweatpants.
Mike, that's such a good look. Do you know, if only the sweatpants weren't black, if they were like red, or that cream-coloured pair you had. He looks incredibly rare, does Mike, with that. But, you know, if France went into lockdown before us, why are they only just coming out now? We should technically have another, at least two, probably 3 weeks. Now the problem is, oh, well, the behavioural psychologists are saying they won't tolerate that France are coming out of it and we're not. Originally, if we'd have just gone into lockdown the same time as France, then we would be coming out the same time as France, just saying. Don't you think I should run the country? Right, so Jonathan's saying, I, like most people, aren't necessarily staying inside for me. I may survive, it's the people who pass it on and worry about. Exactly. I wouldn't want to pass this thing on to anybody. And I don't particularly want it either. And Mrs. Simon feels sorry for those who'll feel rushed back to work if the lockdown's lifted. Exactly. I thought that as I was listening to it. I thought employers are going to be putting pressure, the like of which, on people. And they could well end up, like bus drivers, Royal Mail, on the front line. And if there was only them out, fine. But the minute you start adding anybody else to it, how can it not increase? And by what percentage does it need to increase before they realise they've made a big error and they rein it back in? It's like playing Russian roulette with other people's lives. I cannot understand it. It isn't a choice, really, if their jobs are on the line either. And you've got people, especially self-employed. We've got a couple of friends around here who are really knocked. One's got a nail bar and another's a hairdresser. You are just not going to be able to do that. Having said that, the other night when I mentioned to you that somebody had gone out for an illicit haircut, the BBC did a kind of piece on that the next day. They rang 50 hairdressers in the London area randomly and got appointments with 19 of them. 19 didn't answer, which is 38, and the other 12 said no. But 19 out of 50 said yes and got an appointment. Also, the haircut was usually £15, and they got told it's double at the moment, so it's £30 for a haircut. They asked the hairdresser, did they need any PPE? You know, should they bring a mask and stuff? And they all said no. One of them in particular said, oh, I don't believe in this thing. I don't believe it's real. Oh, okay then. I really wouldn't be going to him to have a haircut. It does put them in an awkward position, particularly if they've fallen through the cracks of the government scheme. But this is everybody. There isn't anybody that this hasn't affected. And it could get worse. If you don't handle it right now, it could get worse. And I don't understand it. I've watched every government briefing every single day. And they're telling me that the figures are going down. This was about 10 days ago. And I looked at the figures and I thought, no, they're going up. What are you talking about? But what they meant was, and they had a different point of reference. So what's been comical is every day they've come in and they've manipulated the figures to support what they're saying. So instead of having a bar chart where you can clearly see the bars are going up, now we've got a cumulative line chart. And I thought, well, fair enough. But, you know, on a day by day basis, that's still going up and they're not having it. They're not actually manipulating the figures, but they're manipulating the infographics to give you a very different perspective on the data. But ultimately, people are still catching it right now. 5,000 a day. And you think it's a good idea to open the parks. And the best one I heard was the beer gardens. Because, like, you can't get beer from Tesco and drink it at home, just saying. You don't need a pub to get a drink. And why is drink so important anyway? Have I missed something? Admittedly, I'm teetotal, but Exactly, Simon. You would all be able to get out of lockdown if there were fewer cases. And that was what they said at the beginning. We had some friends at the beginning. We'd been in lockdown a week by then, over a week. We hadn't been out since the 6th of March. But we actually decided that was it. We weren't going out the week that we started marooned. And that was the week that the government were like, well, when are they going to go into lockdown? When are we going to go into lockdown? You know what the press is like. And on the Monday night, he came on and said, right, we're in lockdown. You know, by then we were like 10 days into it. But we were thinking the sooner we get in, the sooner we rein this thing in, the sooner we all get out. Instead of which, if they let out, I mean, what's the point of letting out healthy people? Because they're not going to be healthy when they're let out and they catch it. I think that they're just playing the numbers. They don't particularly care. Let's say 2% die. They don't particularly care which 2%. I care very much which 2%. I don't want me or my friends or my family. In fact, I don't want anybody to be in the 2%. But, you know, we all have preferences. The government don't care. They don't care which 2%. It's 2% and they'll open everything up. Putting us all back into forced lockdown will hurt people's mental health and the economy far more. The second time. Totally agree, Jonathan. Totally agree. That's the thing Mike could do. How to manipulate the data to say what you wanted to say. Exactly. I mean, if you've got some data and it's like bad news, there's a way to present it so it doesn't look as bad, where you represent it against something else that's worse. And that's what they're doing. That is exactly what they're doing. So Kim says she likes their approach coming out in small increments. Now the construction workers are allowed to work. It could go one of two ways, this, you know. People are assuming that Boris is a buffoon sufficient that on Sunday he'll say, right, as you were. There could also be the case that he literally says, well, construction workers can go back to work. Everybody else, as you were, you're still on lockdown. But unfortunately, the press have got it now that basically Monday is like Independence Day. It's been all over the UK papers. Monday's the day. Freedom Monday. Independent Monday. And I'm looking thinking they're barking mad. They are barking insane. But it's a headline for them, isn't it? And somebody will buy their rag. I will not buy a newspaper of any description anymore. I'm a bit like Liverpool with the Sun, but for me, it's all of them. They're all equally as bad as one another. So they're working on the road up the street and they're all wearing masks. They're not mad, they're the Tory press. They are all as bad as one another. The majority of them do seem to be Tory. But I don't think they're doing themselves any favours at the moment with all of this. They really aren't. But there again, I mean, you only have to look back to Brexit. They didn't exactly cover themselves in glory with that, did they? Do you know, do you sometimes hanker for Brexit? Because at least then it wasn't like your mental health and your physical health. Oh, it just goes from bad to worse. We'll see what happens. We'll see. But how can cases not rise if you let more people out? Unless you've actually eradicated it, cases will rise. There will be a tolerance that the government will have. And I'm just wondering what that tolerance is. Wonder if Boris has two speeches written, waiting to see how people react to the headlines. Do you know, I often think that, Jonathan. So much is leaked beforehand. It's like taking the temperature of the nation on it. And I just wish he would look at my Facebook feed. Because without exception, well, with one exception, but not right in the head on that one. Otherwise, without exception, it's like it's too soon. It's too soon. It's logic it's too soon. Look what happened with Ebola. We had one person in the country with Ebola and everything went crazy. You know, there was no like, well, we'll let it play out and see how it goes. No, she was locked down. Everybody that she met when she passed through the airport was locked down instantly. And if they'd have done that with this, we wouldn't be in this mess now. So let's see what he'll do. Boris did, of course, have two articles, if you remember, for Brexit. I wonder if that's what you're referencing, Jonathan. Boris came out as a pro-Brexiteer, but somebody discovered an article he had written, good evening Tracy, that argued the other way. So the other article was a Remain article that was never intended to see the light of day. Basically, he would have gone any way he chose as long as he was Prime Minister in the end. And there was a time I thought that was like ridiculous, and now he's Prime Minister. Although that's a bit of a poison chalice so far, isn't it? Let's see how it goes. That's Boris. That's Boris. It's because of the it's only flu attitude. True, but with normal flu, the odds are most people would survive it unless you had an underlying condition, in which case chances are you wouldn't be particularly venturing out and putting yourself at risk anyway. I always say with Mike, it really bothers me towards the autumn and Christmas time, going to church, that you have the host handed to you on your hand, and then you have the wine. Now, I don't take the wine. I won't bother with the wine at all. One, I don't like it. I mean, when I'm on Eucharist and I have to finish it off, it's absolutely vile. Mike's sending me texts from next door now. We are doing the clap for carers at 8, apparently. There's a story with that. We'll get on to that. But the thing with flu is, it's not as catching. So with this, apparently, I mean, you just seem to have to look at somebody and they've got it. And you can have people who have no symptoms and you can catch it that way. Every Christmas, without fail, Mike will come down with something. And I said to him, you know, we could do with like avoiding the host. Because you're talking a church full of about 150, 180 people. Somebody's going to have flu. And you just basically don't want to catch it. So obviously with this, well, this was what actually happened. Mike was coming to the end of his presidential year. And there was something at Christmas. And basically we didn't go to church this particular week. I think we'd been to a different church the night before or something. Then we went because we were doing tea, and then we went because we were doing something else. And then Mike needed to present some checks at other churches. So we went round all of the other churches on a Sunday morning. I then ended up at a governor's meeting, and I hadn't actually seen the priest for probably about 7 weeks. And I walked in and he went, "Who are you?" I thought, "Ooh, meow." So as I sat down, he said, "Thought you'd left the parish." So if you don't turn up, you get a little black mark. But I just thought, you know, it's too dangerous. It's too dangerous. This was the 1st of March. We went to the local. So we hadn't been to our church since the first week in February. We went to this other one where you could shake hands or not shake hands. So we didn't do the handshaking thing. Didn't do that at all. And that was the last time we went. And I'm glad, because it would go round there like wildfire. It absolutely would. It's just too catching. It's too easy to catch it. Flu is less significant for the majority of people, and it just isn't as easily caught as this thing is. I can't even understand someone who says it's only flu, because flu can lay people out. I think we all think we've had flu until you get flu. And then you think, whoa, all I've ever had before is a cold. I remember getting flu for the first time and it completely floored me. And I thought, the times I thought I'd had a cold with a headache or something and thought, oh, I've got flu. No. When you've had flu, you know you've had flu. It's terrible. Kim says we have a vaccine for the flu. We do, but isn't it different strands, different strains each year, and then they inoculate you against different ones? And if something comes along, you know, it could be a different strain. That was what my understanding of it. I must admit, I don't do the vaccine malarkey. I don't have that beforehand. My dad did, and it totally laid him out. He couldn't work for 6 weeks. Another lady had it that we know, and she ended up on a ventilator. Now, whether it was... I know you're not supposed to be able to catch it from the vaccine, but it just seemed too coincidental that there was about 5 people in total that we knew that had all had it this particular year and all ended up flat on their back. And as Simon says, a lot of people don't know what the flu is. No, they get a cold and think it's flu. But flu is debilitating. This particular year when I'd got it, even when I was a little bit better, I was scared to death of going to bed because I thought if I lie down, I can't breathe. So I was propped up on about 27 pillows and I actually slept sat up. There was just no other way or I couldn't breathe. And even when I was breathing, I was probably only taking in about 5% of what I would normally be taking in because I literally, Oh, it was horrible. It's like somebody sitting on you. Ah, so Jonathan's the same. You get the flu jab and it knocks you out. Yeah, my dad just took really bad with it. Now, I will say my dad and the lady in question this particular year, they were both smokers. So maybe if they'd have just stopped smoking, that would have helped as well. But that does freak me out. So they guess which one will be going round. But you may have a lesser case. I tend to believe, you know me, Kim, I tend to believe, like, I'm not some raving maniac, don't think that. I'm not an anti-vaxxer or anything. But I would be very careful. I would just be very careful. And I think the best way is to eat healthy. Don't smoke, don't drink, you know, just be healthy. I think I went about 3 years without even getting a cold. When Mike gets a cold, and he always gets it first, absolutely, he always gets it first, he puts a mask on. That's how come we've got masks. Because he will put a mask on and he will sleep in it. The only thing he won't do is eat in it. Other than that, he is sat here in a mask 24/7 rather than give it me. Because if I get it, I'll probably be worse than he is with it. It's as though he does something with it as he's passing it on. But it could well come to the fact that you're never getting out of the house again unless you get a vaccine. Rachel posted this picture, Kim. I don't know where it is, but I'll explain it. It was at a hospital, and there was two windows, and it was basically like two queues. And it said over the top of one of these queues, basically the two queues, there was like nobody in the second queue. The first queue was out the door. And above that first queue, it said, accident and emergency treatment, operations, pills, potions. And it was packed to glory, this queue. And the other one said lifestyle change. And there was nobody in the queue. And that kind of summed it up. Enough exercise, being healthy, eating healthy, just basically not eating what you shouldn't. I got myself a treat last week and I ate it. Oh, did I feel ill. Literally, I felt terrible. And I said to Mike, I'm never doing that again. And he said, till the next time. I said, no, how was that bad? No, I clearly can't eat like that anymore. I've been on healthy food for far too long to go back on it now. The picture of Rachel, is it some sort of campaign medal? I'll read it out to you. I read it out before, but I'll read it out again. I couldn't post it from Facebook because her Facebook's private, but I'm sure she won't mind sharing it with the MacBiters. So I'll read it out to you. There's Rachel, and where's the post? There it is. Right, it says, in the photo, Anne Jones, a nurse during the 1918 to 1919 Spanish influenza pandemic, and a century later, her great-great-granddaughter is a nurse on the COVID ward. Apparently, pandemic nursing is in my DNA. And the medal that she's holding is the nursing badge of her great-great-grandmother. She's also got an aunt called Anne as well, so Anne must be a family name. So that's what that was all about. How did you guys meet the lovely Rachel? Kim, that's also true. I didn't get much sleep the other night. And then I was snappy and snarly with Mike all day, telling him that I needed things organising so I could get enough sleep. And I promptly went to bed much earlier than I would normally get to bed. So, yes, absolutely, totally agree with that. No problem, Tracy. Don't worry. You're here now. How did you guys meet the lovely Rachel? Well, how fortuitous was that? We went to... Is she a Catanian? It's an A, but otherwise you're not far off with that, Jonathan. Ladies can't be Catanians. Her father's a Catanian and her second father's a Catanian. As you know, she has multiple fathers. But how we actually met, we were touring the country. So we were all over the place with work. And because of that, we went to church wherever we were and we didn't particularly go to one particular church. When Mum died, we decided we would settle down here. And we started to go to one particular church, which is the one a mile up the road. And it came to them 5 months later in May, in the newsletter and at Mass, the priest stood up and said, can we all say a prayer for Mike Chidgey? And I turned round to my Mike and said, Chidgey, My primary school teacher was called Chidgey, and that's a bit of an unusual name, but it wasn't Mike. So I kept an eye after that. And what had happened was he'd had a heart attack, but it was a very... he was having none of it that he'd had a heart attack. If you knew Chidgey, you would know that. So he was back at church the following week. So in the summer, a couple of months later, I'm thinking, oh, that's Mike Chidgey, and he does look a bit like my old headmaster. A couple of months later, I got put on the Eucharistic rota list, and he was in charge of it. So he would stop off. We would go in for tea and coffee on a Sunday morning. He would walk past to where he would sit, right down the far end, and he'd have a chat about how many were on Eucharist and how many weren't on Eucharist, because if were one missing where I sat, I usually got nominated. So we'd have a quick chat. So in the end, I said, have you got a brother who's a head teacher? And he went, yeah. I said, oh my God, he was my head teacher. So we got chatting. So what then happened? It was so funny. Every week he'd come in, he'd have a longer chat before he moved down to be with Nina and Rachel. Till in the end, he wasn't going down to where they were sat. He was just sat with Mike and I chatting away every week. So then Nina and Rachel started staying with him and having a chat with us, and we got to know each other there like that. But Rachel wouldn't have been there, but for another incident, which was about 5 years before. Rachel had been to local primary school, Catholic primary school, and she went to a mass at the school's church. But she'd stopped going because she'd gone off to university. Anyway, she was going out one night in Manchester, and if you're in the UK, you might be aware Manchester has a few cobbled streets, cobbled being like rocks. They're not very stable to walk on, put it like that, right? And she was heading off for an evening out. So she had these high heels on. Not dangerously high, but high. And she was just walking across the road, and one leg went one way and one leg went the other. She hadn't even had a drink at this stage. But being a nurse, she knew full well she'd done some serious damage. So a couple of police come up, and they thought she was blind drunk and wouldn't do anything about it. And she said, I'm not drunk, I've not had a drink. They wouldn't believe it. So she has to get on the phone to her dad and say, I need you and I need an ambulance. He takes him half an hour to get there from home, but he gets there and he finds her, and she'd not moved a muscle, and he took one look and it was like, ouch. And she had broken her femur, which is the biggest bone in your thigh. So he collars one of these policemen, tears them a new one. They get an ambulance there, and she is actually taken off to the hospital that she worked in. And she needed an operation to reset it and all the rest of it. So she's in plaster from the waist down, and she hadn't been to church in a while, but she was going stir crazy, not being allowed out of the house. This is sounding familiar, isn't it? So she said, if I don't see anything other than these four walls, I'm going to go mad. Take me to church. And she was in a wheelchair at the time. But obviously everybody at church, because Nina and Mike went every week. This is way before we went. Well, this is about 5 years before we went there. But everyone was all over with like, oh, are you OK? You know, come and sit here. Your mum and dad have told us all about it. And she said it was just the most amazing community. She kept on going. And she actually said to me, probably about a year and a half ago, she said, thank God I kept going, or I wouldn't have met you guys and I wouldn't have another mum and dad. So, yeah, that was how we met. She's all right now with her femur. She's got lots of metalwork in it. She's like the bionic woman. So Kim says, hope not like your grandmother. She got the flu. Some people recovered, though, didn't they? I just had this mental image that everybody died. There was one lady in this country, I think she was 108. She survived the Spanish flu pandemic, but died with COVID. I mean, obviously at 108, but she'd had actually survived that. I wonder how people survived back then. I really do. Obviously, probably a lot less people, a lot less crowded, not trying to get onto an underground and stuff like that. But still concerning, isn't it? Oh, it is sweet, isn't it, Jonathan? She's adorable. She absolutely is. Is this the same Nina that gets the dog food? It is. Nina is Rachel's mum, and I'm her other mum. So, yes, it's Nina. She's lovely. They're all lovely. They really are. They're adorable. Which Christmas was that? The first Christmas after we lost my mum had just put in the freezer. So she'd done her Christmas shopping the year she died. And I had no idea what was in the freezer. So a year later, Mike's like, what are we doing for Christmas? And we just had the extension built, if you remember, and they didn't leave until 4:30 on Christmas Eve. So what we were having for Christmas dinner was like, how am I getting in the kitchen? Right. But I think by then we had actually managed to move the washer and dryer out of the way. So I said, I'm sure Mum put some stuff in the freezer last year. And we found that she'd got this leg of lamb. I said, I'll have a go cooking it. How far wrong can I go? And Mike just looked at me. Poor Mike. Anyway, I made it and it was lovely. It was fine. But we were very much just the two of us rattling around on our own. Anyway, following year would have been 2016. By 2016, Mike had joined the Catinians and we'd been to lots of socials and stuff. So Nina says, what are you doing Christmas Day? So I said, nothing. You know, got nothing planned in terms of people coming around and stuff. Now, Nina would have had a house full. She would have had her and Mike, Rachel, her son Gareth, his wife, their three kids, and his wife's mum. So we're looking at, they already had nine. So she said, come to us, come to us. And I said, I can't do that. You know, go, your family, come to us. She said, if I can handle nine, I can handle 11. And we've gone there for, they've invited us every Christmas since. It's really lovely. It's absolutely fabulous. And I did a cheese and sliced meat party. It's all I could manage to invite them back. One day I'll have to do a hot meal. One day, when I get another oven. Remember, I got rid of the oven because I was eating healthily. Yeah, I might have to rethink that now. Good morning, Paul. Anyway, I never got an answer for who had read the email. If you didn't read the email, I could read the email too, you couldn't I? Basically, the 7th of May is an important day for Mike and I, was what I said. And anybody have any idea? Jonathan read it. Well, what is it, Jonathan? Right, let me get it out. It had words in it. Hang on, wrong keyboard. I'm typing on the wrong computer now. Crying out loud. Right, I put a special day for the crew. Come and celebrate with them as they reminisce about an unforgettable adventure involving two countries, two people, 430 miles and a life-changing day. What was life-changing about the 7th of May, 2001? It was a big one. Did you two guys meet? I didn't think so. You mentioned two countries. No, we'd been together by then, 2001, 9 years. 9 years, and we'd got engaged about 2000. 2019 we got engaged. No, not 2019, crying out loud. 1999 we got engaged, so no, wasn't that. But what do people do when they have been together that long? No, not get married. No, they have children. We adopted Maya. Today is Maya's gotcha day. If you're a dog person, you will instantly know what a gotcha day is. If you're not a dog person, you might not. A dog's gotcha day is the day that you get him and bring him home or her. So Mayo was 7 weeks old. His birthday is the 12th of March. But the 7th of May 2001 was the day we went to pick him up. We didn't know we were going to pick him up. I know that sounds strange, but you know us. We were heading off. It was a bank holiday weekend. It was a Monday. And we'd spent the Sunday in a place locally called Blackpool. And we'd gone up there to meet a lady whose Sammy had pups, but they were all girls and I needed a boy. And that was when she said, hang on, let me just call this friend. And she said, she's got one left and it's a boy. You can go and see them tomorrow, but they can't leave for a week because they shouldn't leave till they're 8 weeks old. So it was like, oh, 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 she said, but the thing is, it's Glasgow. And we're like, yeah, and? Like Glasgow's 220 miles away. What's wrong with that? Apparently, we were weird. Other people, like there were people locally who had a dog. And it was like, oh, you went to Glasgow for a dog. Well, yeah. Why wouldn't we? It was meant to be. It's meant to be. So we headed off up there. And when we got there, I told you the story about there was three boys. One was asleep and there was these two boys and we were taking whichever was left. So, but we got there first and Maya got attached to us. So when this other guy came who wanted to buy a dog to be a show dog, he wanted to meet all of the dogs. Anyway, Maya was having none of it. Didn't want to know. So she came back in and she said, he's yours. She said, and you know what? He's so happy with you. Take him today. Which point I had to ring my mother and explain. We're bringing a dog back. We didn't even have a lead, much less anything else. We had nothing. We had a cardboard box in the car and that was it. And this cardboard box was off printer paper. But he curled up in it and he went to sleep. And we travelled back that day. And got out of the car. And what did my dad say? Oh, look at his little white eyelashes. Yeah, he was a beautiful, beautiful boy. But yes, it was life-changing. It absolutely was life-changing. I've got a link to his baby pictures. So have a look at his baby pictures. He was such a cutie. And I didn't think, 21 years on, 19 years on, I'd be sat here with another little furball who's adorable. Didn't plan that one. Wow. Yes, so it's a special day for us. It is a special day for us. So are you doing the clap for carers thing, Jonathan? I need to know these things. That is a lovely picture of Rachel, isn't it? Someone's just put a comment on it on Facebook. You're a star, Rachel. Oh, she went in. This lady who's put that is a friend who runs a course, a pre-med course at the local college. So Rachel's been in and talked to her students about it. And she says, you're a star, Rachel. My students said you were an inspiration and they were so right. What a story you'll have to tell them the next time you come and visit. Jonathan says he thinks it's going to be quieter this week. Just got a feeling. It could be. Last week was quite loud, but I think that was because it was Captain Tom's birthday. I think this week could be quieter on the basis that people are thinking, you know, we're on the cusp of being let out. Alternatively, it could be quite rowdy because people are celebrating the fact. And it's VE Day tomorrow. So you just never know, do you? It's quite dark here at the moment, which is unusual. We've got this dirty, great big cloud right over the house. I think somebody's put a curse on us or something. But we'll see how it goes. It's been erratic, to be honest, in terms of the number. But last week was the loudest yet. If it's quiet, Jonathan, then I'm going to hear your klaxon. Oh, Kim loves the pictures of Maya. He was gorgeous, wasn't he? Oh, absolutely gorgeous. What mischief was he up to in those? Those were his puppy pictures. Yes, he'd helped himself. He got a plastic bottle, ripped the label off it. That's the top one. And then that one where it says, I did not make this puddle, which is the top one on the right. Just look at the stance of him. He was so in charge. Then he found some puppy food. Oh, the puppy food. He hated the puppy food. He was fine with it for about 2 weeks. And then he would just spit it all over the place as though there wasn't enough nutrients in it. But that was the stage where he was like, OK, I found my own food. I think I'll have some more. And he did. The one with the green thing that he's got in his mouth, it was a stool. It was a fishing stool of my father's. And you mean you can see the age of him. He was no more there than 10 weeks, nine, 10 weeks, if that. He was jousting around the garden with it. How he had the strength to pick it up, I don't know. The one with the strawberry, that's straw. He ate the eyeball from straw. We had to wait for nature to take its course. Mike got the job of checking every time until the eyeball reappeared at the other end. Poor Mike. We found it in the end, though. So all his toys after that had to have their eyes taken out. And then there was reading my father's paper, which unfortunately that's what he was doing there. And chewing, he looks like he's chewing on a toy, like a good little dog. No, that was his grooming brush. Taking the bristles off it, and he then set about destroying the handle part. And the one in my car, the look on his face, that he was about 3 months then, was just, and where are the keys? Bless him. Oh, you like the paddling pool pick? Do you know, that was the first time that I'd arrived here. And he was in it, and he thought, oh, this is a good wheeze. Until he realised that water went in it. Never got in it again with water. So what we did with it, we thought we might like to play with the water. We should have known better. But what we did do with it was we turned it into a sandpit. So we'd fill it with about 4 or 5 bags of sandpit sand, so the very fine stuff, damp it down a little bit for him, and he could dig to his heart's content there. He got lots of sand on his paws and stuff, but it wasn't as bad as digging in like the rose beds. He took a chunk of fur out at about 12 weeks, digging in the rose bushes, and it made him filthy. So we decided we would put the sand pit there, and he loved his sand pit. Literally, he was in his sand pit every single night. And it, once he dug and dug and dug and he got tired, he'd flop and he'd just sit there in his sand pit like the king of the castle. Oh, he was the most amazing dog. We actually said before Lola became ours, she was staying for the weekend, which was the last weekend in September last year. And she came in and I turned around and I went, oh, and Mike went, you know, she's not got, Maya had a collar on and Lola doesn't. Lola's collar gets put on when she's going out. So Mike said, did she surprise you? And I said, no, it wasn't that. I said, there was just a look. I said, it's Maya. The look on her face. Because girl Samoyeds and boy Samoyeds look different. They have, the male dogs are more masculine. And Lola had a very sweet little princess feminine face. Until I glanced around and she was the spit image of Maya. And that was the Saturday or Sunday. Anyway, Mike said the same over something else that she'd done that was just identical. And we laughed and said, she's channeling Maya. And that was when the lady came on the Monday night and said, could you adopt her? Because we can't look after her anymore. And it was the Tuesday that she came back and we said, yes, of course we will. But by then, she'd literally morphed into Maya. And now she does so many things that are just identical to him. Like she'll walk backwards. I've never seen another dog walk backwards. But she actually will walk backwards for quite some considerable way. And Maya used to do exactly the same thing. It must be something Samoyedish. Unless somebody with a dog can tell me that's different, that their dog walks backwards. She can also hear the fridge door open from 3 miles away. But completely misses you screaming Lola at 20,000 decibels to bring her in the house. It's selective Samoyed deafness. Right, Mike's in his meeting, but they've decided they're doing the clap for carers. What's not looking too good here is it's actually raining. So, sounds like Mike's coming out and heading off downstairs. We're 2 minutes to go. So I'm getting myself up on my other phone so I can ring myself. How are they all doing?
Going outside.
Right. Looks like rain, or is it me?
Doesn't look great.
It doesn't look great. There's a dirty great big cloud right over the house, I'm telling you. Right, I'm going to ring myself, so I'll ring myself so you can see.
I'm going to take my jacket off because I don't want cross-questioning by the neighbours.
I think the tie should go then as well, Mike. Right, let's see if I can call myself on Skype and accept myself at the other end. Can you all hear me?
Oh, indeed you can.
Three times over by the sound.
Head off. Right. I'm heading downstairs. Mike's got the tambourines. Oh, it goes from chaos to chaos. Is Lola having her chicken? Or is Lola staying in here like a good dog?
Go on, take Foxy. Oh, chicken's here.
Chicken, there's chicken. Oh, chicken. Right, have you got the keys, yes, Mike? That's the usual calamity. Right, I'm out. I'm at the door. Mike's got the keys. I've done that. You stay there or somebody will make off with you. I think a bit early yet, Mike. I see not a living soul. Jonathan could be right, but I don't mind looking a complete berg. Study with my tambourine. I don't know. It's supposed to be, but it is a bit early. Let me check what time it is.
It's 1 minute to 8.
1 minute to 8. Well, yeah, the Continuans might be doing it, but they might be doing it online. Jonathan could be right. It's just us.
No.
Oh, hang on. One house. Hopefully the next one will come up because they bring the other lady out. Oh, Maureen's out. Okay. Maureen's out. Brilliant.
Hi!
Oh, I think we're off.
How did you do that? She's actually managed to open the front door and come out by herself. Lola!
Hey! Don't know how you're doing, Jonathan. There's not as many. You were quite right. There's not as many. Oh, there's the other neighbours. Oh, we're all out now, I think. I think we're all out now. Are you going to bark, Lola? They're on the inside, opening the window. You're going to come on the bus, Lola? Come on, Lola. Lola. Good girl. Say hello. Say hello. I'm going to take a photograph of that sky, Mike, because it's hideous. Yay! Right, we're heading in.
Come on.
Come on. Go get the call. Come on. In we go, Lola. Good girl. Good girl. I'll let you do that while I get upstairs. Well, I've still got oxygen. Oh, that was a good one. Everybody did come out. I think they took a little bit longer. Maybe they're waiting for the news. Bang on the hour. We were out 1 minute early. So how was your klaxon, Jonathan? Ooh. And I think I got a picture of the over sky that you can... it was all a bit dark. Let me see if I can send that through.
I'm going to retrust myself.
All right. Right. Right, I'm back. I'm back. Jonathan says the best way yet. Kiva likes the tambourines. Way, good girl, Kiva. Good girl. Jonathan likes the Skype ringtone. Oh, Jonathan. Right, let me see if I can get this sent straight to Droppler from here. Right, let's have a look. Oh, they are some evil skies. Evil, evil skies. Right, I'll send you that one. If I can get that sent through. Oh, come on, Droppler. Oh, do you know what? I'm going to take all of them, send them to my desktop. You know the iOS-only fundamentalist business? You can do everything on an iPad. Yeah, no. No, let's just send it through to my desktop and do it from there. Oh, Jonathan, you are a trendsetter. Only an OBE. I'm thinking a knighthood, Jonathan. Maybe she could make you a colonel. That would be a good idea. Right, I'm going to take these images and I'm going to do a conversion. Oh, why do Apple make everything so complicated? All I want to do, I've got four images, which it's taken as high efficiency, which means I've got to run a batch convert on it. You won't be doing that on a phone, will you? No, I won't. So, affinity, batch job. Oh, talking of which... Anybody got any suggestions for tomorrow before I just do what I fancy? Just saying. Having said that, I've got some good ones. I've got some good updates tomorrow. Even splurged out and bought some software today. Yep, absolutely did. Right, I'm sorting by date and time. Got them, got four of them. Let's convert them to JPEGs and get them to you. Save as JPEG. Awesome. Right, let's do that. And it's strutting its stuff. It's strutting its stuff. Hopefully it's putting them in the right place. And then I can get them on Droppler. Oh, it was evil. The weather is more than a little overcast. Notion subscription tracker. Oh, Kim.
Kim, there has been an update to Notion this week. It is the tiniest update ever. But, oh, it's a good one. It could totally change how you build everything. So I thought I'd do that. Right, let's get these up to Droplr. Right, which one's that? Let's do that one and have a look. Oh, yes, you can definitely see it on there. So when I get the nod that it's copied it, which I'm not going to, am I? No. Because I shut up the notifications earlier. Okay, we'll do the manual check on that then. Right, let's put it in there and see how we go. Did that work? Yes, it did. Right, awesome. There you go. That is from our front path looking back down the length of our road. You can see how tiny it is. There's only 8 houses. So there are 3 houses from me to the end of the road. And then at the end of the road, it forks and there's another road on the right and one on the left. So we're a tiny little feeder road to those 2 roads. So you can see how dark and dingy it is. It's not good. And let's have a look. That actually looks like a bird. I think it's a bird. It's not a plane. Let's get that one and put that one up. How dark is that? I said it was literally just across the house. But it does actually stretch a little bit further than I thought, to be honest. There you go. There's another one. Which was that one. And I think I had one more. Yeah, that was that one. Okay, let's get that one up there. So much faster on a desktop. Just saying. I'm a desktop girl. Lots of ambulances and police about. We had a couple of cars who joined in and we had a jogger who was clapping as he jogged along as well. But that weather is awful. A couple of weeks ago, it was beautiful. Of course, it's a bank holiday tomorrow, so that's why. That is just dark and evil and foreboding. So I'm thinking we're going to have a rainy night. I can see that coming, a definite rainy night. Right, let's do that. Oh, that's disappeared. Okay, where's my page? Not that page. It was that page. Excellent. You know what the story that most excited me today? Because I'm sad like that, in a good way. A white squirrel. Oh, it was gorgeous. I thought it was a rabbit. But no, it's a white squirrel. I'll share that. You think jogging and running is right up there. Not running with a knife. No. They were clapping. Some kids out tonight as well. What I find strange is it's nowhere near every house. There's like a cluster. There's us and the 2 houses opposite. And then because we live like on a triangle, basically, we're a T-junction. There were 1, 2, 3, about another 4. So it's really like a sort of cluster. Maybe they think they're no wheel go out and therefore they're going out. That's probably what it is. Right, Jonathan, I've got the link. Whee, there we go. You should have given them your affiliate link, Jonathan, for the Klaxons from Amazon. You could have made a killing there. Brings new meaning to Klaxon for Isaacs. Right, I'll play that when I get the HD. So I've got it on pause while it's processing with its little self. Isn't that white squirrel adorable? News also is we're going to have to wear gloves when we're at the airport. Now, it only mentioned gloves, not a mask, but I'm assuming gloves and a mask at the airports. Does anybody feel like flying right now? I mean, I don't feel like flying on a good day. But seriously, right now? Interesting. Another story I saw was about a quad bike rider who died. He was riding a quad bike. Now, I got as far as he was riding a quad bike, and I'm thinking, was that journey essential? Clearly not. The white squirrel's so sweet, isn't it? It's like virtually albino, only it did have dark eyes, didn't it? It looked like maybe somebody had taken a negative of it. I've certainly never seen one quite like that, that's for sure. Right, white squirrel, there it is. It's so cute. Definitely a squirrel. No mistaking it. I suppose it could be a very, very, very pale grey one. But it does look white, doesn't it? I would say maybe somebody had bleached it, but that would just involve Donald Trump again, wouldn't it? Oh, it is a genetics thing with it. But it's not albino, because that would affect the eyes. Yeah, the eyes are very dark. It's still rather sweet. Although I always remember my mum saying they're rodents and they tear you limb from limb left alone. So Simon says, without a doubt, some Brit is going to turn up at the airport in only gloves. I hope I'm not there to witness that one, Simon. I just can't imagine there being any reason to fly right now. I mean, possibly the only thing I could think of that may tempt me, and it won't because I don't have any remaining family, to be honest, only lovely Rachel, and they live near here, is if you were flying abroad to see family. But other than that, you know, you've got to go to this meeting in Toronto. Really? Have you heard of Zoom? If people have managed for 6 weeks, they can carry on managing as far as I'm concerned. But yes, I can see it in only gloves and potentially a mask. It'll happen, I swear it will. It'll happen. Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. So, absolutely the last call for anything tomorrow. But trust me, Kim, you've got templates, haven't you, Kim? You must have templates for something. This is life-changing for templates. Good night, Jonathan. Oh, a nap, 3-3. You keep telling yourself that. We'll see. We'll see. Good night, Jonathan. So, Kim, do you have templates? And if you do, do you have stuff below the fold? Because it's the below the fold and above the fold that's changed. Yeah, Jonathan must be having a really early night, mustn't he, Paul? I can see that, you know. I could imagine that happening. Oh, well, we'll see how we go tomorrow. Unless I can blind him with science. So Kim's got several templates. Oh, good. I'll probably use MacBytes as an example because the template's incredibly complicated and an absolute pain in the backside to sort out. But this could solve all of my problems. So we'll see how that goes. And below the fold for several things. The majority of MacBytes happens below the fold with a certain degree of meta above it. But there's one part that I had to build a solution for, which... it wasn't that much of a pain, but it's something that when you make a new item based on the template, you've got to remember to go in and change X and Y and Z. And they've changed it just enough to be incredibly, incredibly useful. I will say no more than that. Just incredibly, incredibly useful. So we will be back with you tomorrow night, same time, same place, for Two Show Friday. Becoming a habit, isn't it, Two Show Friday? We're unlikely to have any news from the government because they don't know what they're doing either. But that should happen on Sunday. Apparently, Boris is speaking to the nation at 7 o'clock. We might have to incorporate him in the show and laugh like hyenas at what he comes out with. Well, the Queen's been on, so we might as well invite Boris on. We'll see how that goes. But until then, it's good night from me. And I will tell you, it's good night from Mike. We will both see you next time. Until then, stay safe, guys.